Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I seek refuge with Allah, highly glorified is He, from Satan the rejected enemy. With the name Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Today is September 26, 2021. You are listening to Words Made People. I'm your host, Michael Sy here. We have a very special guest coming on today, Dr. Abdel Nuruddin. I want to make sure I get it right. He's a naturopathic doctor. So we're going to begin with our theme song. We're going to come back and do our Quran reading. We always begin the show with Quran reading. And today, we're going to read from chapter 23, verse 51. Again, that is chapter 23, verse 51 of the Quran. So while we play our theme song, you can be looking up the verse. And we'll be right back after our theme song, also titled Words Made People, sung by our beloved, belated sister, Khadija Abdullah. We'll be right back. Call a friend. Tell them to tune in. They don't want to miss this show today. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to Words Made People. I'm your host, Michael Sy here. I think I see my co-host here. He didn't press one today. Oh, yes, he did. I see my co-host right there, Imam Ayman Abdul Majid. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, my dear brother Imam Mikhail. How are you today?
Doing fine. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. So how's life in Los Angeles, California?
Oh, man, it's beautiful. You know, we got a great day right now, but it's going to sunny up to about 75 today, so we'll take that.
Yeah, it's about the same. It's about the same. Alhamdulillah. We're going to bring on our guests early. Most times, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, I said all those fires, you know, that smoke's coming inland now. The smoke from the fire,
so,
all coming. So the air quality is not real good right now.
Okay, so you all are east of the fires, or?
I'm north of the fires.
Oh, but the wind's blowing north and west,
uh-huh.
Okay, I guess the wind's still blowing that smoke.
Yeah.
You be very careful. Be very careful of that. We're going to bring on our guests early today. Most time we bring on our guests after we read the Quran, but since we have an email, Imam Dr. Abdel Nuruddin, I'm going to bring him on now. So as we do our Quranic reading, he can also give reflections. So let us welcome to our show our brother, Dr. Abdel Nuruddin. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Nuruddin.
Wa alaikum salam, Imam Sahir. And thanks for inviting me to be here with you today. So happy.
Oh, yes, sir. It's our honor and our pleasure to have you with us. You have some valuable information to share with us that you have for the last, 30 years now, I believe. So it is our honor to have you. 40 years. Yes, sir. So now we got the balance. You got you on the East Coast. Okay, you remember, I'm in Abdul-Majeeb on the West Coast, and I'm right here in the middle. So we're gonna let this flame fly.
We're going to have a good time today. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah. Bismillah. Begin with Bismillah. Bismillah ar-Rahim. Yeah, so we always begin our show. You know, our show's title, Words Make People, given to us by our beloved leader, Imam Waddesdeed Muhammad, W.D. Muhammad. And so we know the best words are making people the words of the Quran. So we always begin our show with reading from the Quran. And today, for those who may not have heard me say it before, we're reading from chapter 23, verse 51 of the Quran. But before reading the Quran, we just don't read the Quran like any other book. When we read the Quran, only after having a mental spiritual preparation. And we do that by saying two phrases. The first one we say in Arabic is A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. That is, we're seeking God's protection, we're seeking refuge, protection with Allah, minash shaitan, from the shaitan, from the evil one. That's the first thing we do before reading the Quran. And the next thing we do before reading the Quran, unless it's chapter 9, you say Bismillah ar-Rahmanir Rahim. And that is using the translation that we find more the most peace with, as being with God's name, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. And then we can begin reading. So we're going to read from chapter 23, verse 51. It's a very short surah, and I think it may be appropriate for today's topic, inshallah. It says, Ya ayyuhal rasulu, O messengers of God, you messengers, kulu min al-tayyibat, of the good things. Tayyibat is saying good, the good things. And it says, wa ahmalu salihin, and do righteous deeds. Inni bidma tahmaluna alimu. And says that indeed, Allah said indeed that He knows all things. He is the knower of the good that we do. Allah knows the good. And then upon finishing reading the Quran, it is common for Muslims to say, Sadaqallahu al-Azim, Allah has spoken a mighty truth. So I'd like to give some reflections and some thoughts from our two imams on this reading here, where Allah is calling to the messengers. It's given in the plural sense. So it's in the case to me, brother imams and dear listeners, that the diet for humanity was consistent with all of the messengers. It was not like there's one set of dietary rules and laws for one people that was not applicable and expected of all people. Because, and I say that based upon it being, it didn't say messenger singular. It's messenger plural. Of the good things, eat of the good things and do righteous deeds. So, Brother Imam Ayman, you have any thoughts you'd like to share on this reading, please?
Oh, you know, I think, alhamdulillah, it's wonderful. You know, the word of God is so rich. You know, ya ayyuha al-rasul kulu min al-tayyibat wa'lamu salihati inni kama tahmaluna amin. I think it's wonderful. You know, when it talks about eating, we know it's not just physical eating. You know, we talk about eating mentally as well as spiritually. You know, we want to eat the best.
Okay.
You know, and, you know, like you said, words make people. So we want to put the best words, the good word, the best of what's in creation. And we want to take that on, you know, embrace that, you know, and let our hearts and minds engage with it. So I think it's wonderful, you know, to that just that kuli min al-tayyibat, eat of the good things, you know. I think that that's a wonderful message, even for society, you know, because
yes,
a lot of times with the immoral music and the crazy stuff we hear in the environment, corruption, you know, people are eating the wrong diet, you know, spiritually and mentally, you know. So it's producing a corrupt life. So the same with food. If you eat the wrong food and don't know how to eat, it also can corrupt the body. So this is a wonderful message that the prophets brought to humanity, you know, because that goes along with good deeds, you know, good works.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's all connected. It's all connected, all tied together. And then that God knows. See, God knows the deeds that we do. All right? So the ultimate judge is Allah, and we leave it at that. That's all I have to say for that right now.
Well, thank you. Very well said. Yes, we know the physical food is there and is basic and fundamental, you may say, that points to higher messages, as you said, to our thinking, food, we call it food for thought. As well, we have to eat of good food for good thoughts. Brother Dr. Imam Nuruddin, what are your thoughts, please?
Yes, sir. Well, they coincide with what you all are bringing. Here, I do think that the focus is on first and foremost, the material side of life, but we also know that mentally and spiritually we're consuming daily, and Allah also reveals to us here to make sure that your deeds are good and that you're doing good work. But I want to take us from this verse, take you to the fifth chapter of the Quran, take your audience to the fifth chapter of the Quran, and go to 4,
okay.
5, and 6.
Okay.
And if you go to 4, 5, and 6, here, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is telling us basically how to eat yesterday, 1,400 years ago. You're living in a different world today. Today is the day of herbicides and pesticides and industrial waste and preservatives and all of these factors that weren't there 1,400 years ago when this was actually revealed. So we have to consider now, you know, what's good for you today as opposed to what was good for you yesterday. Now, that doesn't take anything away from this basic meaning that the Quran is giving to us, that the meat itself, the dead meat and the blood and the flesh of the swine, those things we know, they're forbidden for us to consume unless in under certain mitigating circumstances. We can't. But the whole idea here is why I brought our attention here, is you're living in a different world. You're living in a different world. You've got to consider now what you're going to eat today. We've got geometrically modified organisms that's making up the diet today that our bodies don't even recognize as food, doesn't process it as food, but we're consuming these things on a regular basis. So we have to be mindful of the fact that where we live today, we are. It's encouraged. We're enjoying to eat of the good things that Allah is producing. But we have to go back and consider now what man has done. Man has touched the natural order of things, and he has, in some cases, defiled it, meaning good. But a lot of these, what we would call modern conveniences, are leading to a lot of the complications that we have today. So today, the herbicides, the pesticides, the industrial waste, the preservatives, all of these things are part of the diet itself, and we have to be mindful as we consume today that we are eating those things that are good and pure.
Let me make a fast comment on the two words that you said. Maybe people don't think about it. You said pesticide and herbicide. And the side is spelled C-I-D-E.
Yeah.
And just be mindful of people. The word, that syllable, C-I-D-E, means death, means to kill. That's why they call murder homicide, because she killed someone like you, same as you. So Dr. Nudi is saying very well, just want to make sure that point is highlighted. If it's there to kill the bug and there to kill the herb, but you put it inside of you. So just
you
got to
remember. You're right, Mikhail. We got to always remember that the bug that feeds off the host is the same thing that will kill the bug will kill the host. Maybe I better say
that
again.
We're the host.
I said the parasite that feeds on the host. As you can kill that parasite, you can same thing that'll kill the parasite will kill the host. So you have to be mindful and conscious too when you go after getting rid of parasites. And the way that you go about getting rid of parasites, because that can also damage your life.
Quite
a lot of getting rid of the parasites.
Yeah, so what I'm hearing is that eating of the lawful and good, nature made a great distinction. The Quran has given us the insight, the guidance, and
that's
Allah
correct.
Has given us a rational mind to think further, as long as we don't violate the original teaching, think further.
Well, this is how we should eat. We should eat food. That will spoil, but eat them before they do. We should eat foods. Those are the foods really that we should be eating. Those that will spoil, and we should eat them before they do. So now when you go in the grocery store, and believe me, we're not here to try to take anything away from people, particularly in terms of what they like as it relates to food, because we all like to eat. But when you go in the grocery store, you're better off on the outside. On the outside, you find the meat counter. On the outside, you find the fruit stand, the fruit counter. That's really where you should shop. Yes. If you go down the aisles, you're taking a chance. Everything sitting out there is preserved. Everything that's sitting out there, man has touched it in some type of way, affected it in some type of way. And unfortunately, what we're seeing as a result of human beings, mortals, having the ability to fashion life as he or she chooses, we make mistakes. and man has made mistakes down through time, and he's still making mistakes today. So we have to be mindful of that. And here's the other thing. Let me say this, as groups in America, because we're a group in America, we have to be smarter than the average group. I'm just being honest with all of it. You got to be smarter than they are. If you're not, then you're going to suffer the same things that they do. This is just the world that we're actually living in. Yeah.
Well, and we're tying this back in with the verse of the Quran that says, along with eating properly, it says, and do good. The average citizen, I don't care what race they may be, we are not in the business of food production. We are in the business of being the consumer. Therefore, when it says to do good, could this also be a message to the business person who know that they may not be putting the best products out there, but for commercial gain, they will allow the common citizen to continue to consume.
That's correct.
So the part, I give you make this one point, the part of the verse is saying, and do good, for us, the common person who's not the producer, it means do good, but isn't there also a warning to those who produce the food to put good food out there?
It sure is. It's saying, also saying to us, be mindful. Be mindful of these decisions that you're making. Let's not think about that this is only talking to, and you alluded to this, this is only talking to those of us who are consumers. This is also talking to those who are manufacturers also, those that provide and make available the foods and things. Yeah. And so God is saying, you do right. Do right by the public. They're going to come and buy your stores. They're going to buy your goods. You do right by them. And we read this in the Quran. You shouldn't make them overpay by causing them to spend more money or padding the food so that it weighs more and you can charge more. Those kind of things are forbidden to us. So here I think God is taking our minds back to Scripture and what he has revealed in Scripture, whether it's Old Testament, New Testament, or the Quran, that you should do good by people. Eat of the good things that God has made available for you and do good while you live here.
Okay, we're drawing our attention to the surah that you brought to us, Surah 5, Maida, the table spread. Very interesting topic, right? Table spread, right? But it is saying, so eat of what animals catch for us, but mention the name of God on the before you eat it. And this, to reverence, to have a reverence for God, but so, it's, and then it goes on to say, this day have we made lawful to you the good things, and also the people of the book, and that, you know, so wow, no, this is. You know, it's so much coming to my head. I mean, I'm getting a rush of thoughts to my mind right now. So,
yeah.
the physical food is really symbolic. I mean, it has to be right, but it's more symbolic of the bigger food that we feed society. Wow. My mind's rushing, and I'm going to slow it down a little bit. Iman, anything you want to ask or mention at this time?
No, I think our train of thought is going pretty good with this, you know. The more we talk about it and discuss it, and, you know, the more we can see. But, I think I want that word Taib, and it has a wonderful meaning, too, because it means also delicious and good and wholesome, you know. This is something that's really important to focus on because, you know, they don't focus on that today a lot of times when they're trying to produce products. You know, they're just concerned with producing a lot of volume so they can get it to the people. But a lot of times it's not wholesome and it's not good. Dr. Nuruddin, I know, could really speak on the blood content, you know, like the blessing is us having halal because the impurities are in the blood, you know. And when you eat a piece of halal meat as opposed to a non-halal, like a hamburger or something from Jack in the Box or some of these places, you can really tell the difference in the meat. It's really different because the blood is in the impurities. And I remember, you know, some years ago when we was trying to get halal meat a lot, we went down to the place where they was killing the cows at. And the way they was killing those cows was very, very brutal because what they do, they send them up on this conveyor belt, and as they're going up, they hit them in the head with they stun their head with air, or air blow, you know. Yeah, I think you all can relate what I'm talking about. It hits the head real hard, and it kills them. And sometimes it don't get them on the first hit. They got to hit them again. But the cow that's behind the other cow, they sense the fear. So every cow coming up there is scared to death because they're getting ready to get hit in the head and die, you know. What a cruel way. The reason why I'm bringing that out, because that fear now is in that animal's blood, you know, and we're consuming that, you know. And so I'm sure Dr. Nuruddin can talk on that. But that blood is very important, you know, the blood, to keep the blood clean, you know, keep it, you know, it's very, very important. And that's the beautiful thing about the halal kill, the dabiha and halal kill on the animal, because the blood is being drained from the animal. And that's, again, where the impurities are, you know. And I just wanted to say that about that. So ta'id, that word ta'id, the food being delicious and wholesome and good, you know, all of that goes together. And Allah speaks of this in the Quran when he says, eat food that is halal and ta'id. You know, they go together. Halal wa ta'id, you know, halal and ta'id. They go right together, you know, not just halal, but it's halal and ta'id. You know, it's permissible to eat, but it's also wholesome and good.
Great. Thank you. I'd like to hear Dr. Nuruddin's comments on that.
Well, the blood, the scripture says this to us, the blood is the life of the flesh.
Yeah.
The blood is the life of the flesh. The condition that the blood is in determines basically the overall health of the flesh, period. And without me just going into plasma and red blood cells and those kind of things, but what we must be conscious of is what do we put into our bodies every day? Because whatever you put into your body 4 to 5 hours from now, it's going to be flesh. It's going to be flesh. It's going to turn, it's going to get into the bloodstream, it's going to get into the what we call the internal terrain, which basically is the arterial system. It's, well, really the plasma and the red blood cells make up the internal terrain. But whatever we consume ultimately ends up in the blood. The blood is going to get into the blood. Yeah, the blood, the cells are going to process it. And after the cells process it, then the waste material is going to go back out into the blood. So the blood your red blood cells, they don't have a venous connection. There's no vein running to them. Their basic connection is in the plasma itself, is where they get their nutrients and things from. So making sure that the blood, the plasma is clean, because if the plasma is not clean, if the blood is not clean, then the cells are not going to be clean. If the blood is dirty, then the cells are going to be dirty. If the blood is dirty, then the culture of the body is dirty. So the culture, and we have to think about this because when you even think about blood in scripture, it's talking about culture. And if the culture is dirty, then if the blood is dirty or the culture is dirty, then the society is dirty, in essence. So these are symbols and signs in scripture that Allah is giving to us to wake us up relevant to our own personal circumstances and conditions relevant to our own body. You've got to make sure that you keep this culture clean. If you don't keep this culture clean, then you're going to suffer disease and it's in the blood. Yes, sir.
Now, when you say keep the culture clean, you're talking about music, things that we get from Hollywood. Just the cultural life. That's in the cultural level, but you are comparing it with the basic physical level in our body. The physical food we can eat can also taint the blood. So the physical body, what are ways we can keep the physical blood clean as well?
You got to make, well, first of all, let's water first. This is the first thing.
Water's
first. Water is electrical. First thing your body is looking for when you wake up in the morning is water. They ain't looking for coffee. Not looking for tea, not looking for milk, it's looking for water. That's the first thing it wants. It's electrical. So that's the first thing. So water's first. Next, you got to make sure that digestion, elimination, and friendly bacteria are in balance, taking place the way that they're supposed to. You got two brains in this body. They've been saying now that it's one brain, the one that sits up on your shoulder. And then you got another one down in the solar plexus area. The imam called that the industrial complex. He said this is the industrial complex. So you've got the brain sitting up here on top of your shoulders, and then you got that industrial complex where the stomach is at, where the small intestines is at, where the large intestines is at. That has to be kept clean. That you've got to nurture that. You got to work. That's where your digestion is going on. Number one thing that all of us have to do relevant to consumption is digest. None of us should be eating our meals daily without using digestive enzymes. Why? Because the world that we live in today, most of the foods that we're eating are processed. Now, some of us are pretty good at vegetables, and some of us are pretty good at, you know, eating raw stuff, but that's not most of us. So most of us need digestive enzymes to break down that food that we're consuming, particularly if you're my age, if you're 50, 60, 70. In fact, you can be younger than that. But if you're that age, you definitely need digestive enzymes. Why? Because you came here with a bank of enzymes. You came here with a bank of metabolic enzymes. And as you have fed and eaten down through time, you've used up part of that bank. The older you get, the less of those enzymes you have, your protease, your lipase, your amylase. Yes. So the older you get, you're losing the capacity to manufacture those enzymes that would break down those foods. And because, again, the foods today are processed, you certainly got to have digestive enzymes. So when we consider the metabolic enzyme process of most people living in this society today is low. So we're at that point where we have to supplement our diets today, particularly with digestive enzymes. So first, digestive enzymes, and then you got to make sure you're putting friendly flora, friendly bacteria into the gastrointestinal tract. The microorganisms, and this is a huge one. Which one? F-L-O-R-A. Yeah. Friendly flora?
Yeah. Yes.
F-L-O-R-A.
Yeah, let us, yeah, F-L.
O-R-A. It's friendly O-R-A. Bacteria. Mm-hmm. It's friendly bacteria.
Right.
That's really what it is.
Yes.
These are microorganisms.
Okay, let me do this here. Let me do this here. You're giving us a lot of good information. I think you're giving it to us. I need to, along the way, ask questions because I think some of us, and me myself, we're not familiar with some of these terms.
Yeah.
So we need to digest what you giving us. Okay. Because when you said digestive, I'm going back a little bit. You said digestive enzymes. Because we don't eat enough vegetables and raw stuff. I want to go back to that vegetables and raw stuff. That's the word she used. So if we are eating enough vegetables, what kind should we be eating? And what did you mean by raw stuff?
Anything that's raw, that nature just produced, that man didn't have to touch. People eat sushi. Sushi is raw fish. You know, so raw things, yeah, they have pre-digestive enzymes already in them. The pre-digestive enzyme is already there. But if you cook it, whether it's the vegetable or whether it's the protein, if you cook it, now you're robbing it of those enzymes that will literally break it down and make it more manageable for your body to consume. So because and because things are cooked, we need digestive enzymes to aid and assist with the digestion of our food. So I don't sit down to my meal. That main meal I'm going to have daily, and even if we're out, even if Connie and I are out, we take digestive enzymes with us wherever we're going.
Mm-hmm.
So when I sit down at my meal here that in the house, then those digestive enzymes are sitting right on that table in front of me, right along with the knife and the fork. The enzymes are there.
Well, how can we get them? Where can we get them?
Go to my website.
That's a business man there. Okay, business man. What's your website?
DrNuruddin.com. It's DrNuruddin.com. Nuruddin.
Can you spell that for us, please?
N-U-R-I-D-D-I-N. And it's just D-R. DrNuruddin.com.
Gotcha.
And you
want to
go
go
to Genesis Supplements, and you'll find digestive enzymes there.
Genesis.
So that's all of us. Look, here's the thing, Mikhail. If we could just get people to just do this, if we could just get us to just do this, just use digestive enzymes every time you eat, we will literally revolutionize our community in terms of its health. You say, that can't be true, Dr. Nuruddin. Well, what you want. And you take what you want, leave what you don't want. But I'm telling you what the situation is. Start improving your digestion and watch and see. You stop the acceleration of the aging process. You literally slow the aging process down just by improving your digestion.
Now you mentioned another thing, vegetables. Is there any preference of one vegetable or one set of vegetables over another, or just vegetables as a whole?
Not really, but all of us have a biochemical type. And so there are four different types. And what we suggest, I suggest to all of my clients that they eat based on their biochemical type. Some foods give energy to your body based on your type. And there are certain foods that you should avoid based on your type. So once we find out what the body chemical type of the person is, then we suggest the breakfast, the lunch, and the dinner, and also give them the knowledge of those foods that will give energy to their bodies and the ones that they should avoid.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Nuruddin, that I have a ton of questions, but I want our listeners, if they want to join in, they can press 1 because you give us a lot of good information. It's excellent, but it's a lot. And I don't want to get too far down the line that someone not have an opportunity to ask questions or comments even on what you have shared. But let's stay on this track, no pun intended, of the digestive track, the relieving of ourselves, bowel movement, urination. Is there anything that we should be conscious of in that regard?
Yeah. Digestion and elimination, they refer to it as a catch-22 type of thing. If digestion is good, elimination is going to be good. If elimination is good, digestion will be good. So they pretty much go hand in hand. The next thing that you got to consider is the bacteria, the friendly flora in the gastrointestinal tract. because that bacteria aids in digestion too. You know, when the baby is first born, then the first thing that's coming out of mother's breast is colostrum. This is friendly flora feeding the child from her breast, and the first thing that's coming out is this colostrum. This colostrum builds a healthy lawn, L-A-W-N, a healthy lawn of friendly bacteria in the gastrointestinal tract. Now, it doesn't matter who comes and picks up that child. As soon as they pick that child up, the child is going to produce antibodies. Antibodies will be produced. So everybody that comes in contact with that child is carrying germs, but God has protected that child, particularly through mother's breast milk, by putting this friendly flora into her breast milk, and then it builds that lawn in the gastrointestinal tract of the child, which helps to produce antibiotics, antibodies, so it doesn't matter who the child comes in contact with. Child has a tendency to stay away from infections and those type of things.
Now, what's that word
this
again?
Is a marvelous,
you said lawn?
This body is a very, very marvelous creation. Nobody knows everything about this body. It is impossible. Your doctor does not know everything about this body. None of us do. This is God's creation. And if we did know, we could stay here longer. But we can't stay here no longer than what God wills. So we just have to be, here's the thing. Let me say this, and I'm not being facetious or arrogant or anything. Do what I tell you to do till you know that I'm lying, or you can't prove what I'm telling you. That's all I say to people. If you find out I'm lying, then don't do it. Or if you find out I don't know what I'm talking about, don't do it.
Yes,
but
sir.
Until
yes,
you
sir.
Find out I'm lying, or until you find out I don't know what I'm talking about, then do what I tell you to do.
Yes, sir. Then
I'm telling you.
Here,
let me. I'm gonna give you. Sure, but I'm gonna say every mentor that I've had. The only reason why I am the way that I am today, and I can carry you all back to where it was nothing. Where I was standing on the corner one night, and somebody picked me up and took me to the temple, and I made a decision that night. And the world has not. The world ain't been the same since, based on that one decision. The one message that I had that night. This is how powerful this is.
Yes, sir.
So I'm saying I had nothing. I was broke. I was broke. I wasn't out of doors. I could go to my mama's house, or ultimately I went to my sister's house or whatever. But I was broke. But they picked me up one night and took me to the temple. Now I'm going to tell you what I heard that night. I'm going to tell you all what I heard that night. This is what I heard. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina aminu. Hal adlukum ila tijaratin tunjikum min adhabun alim. Tuminuna billahi wa rasulihi wa tujahiduna fi sabilillahi bi amwalikum wa anfusikum dhalikum khayrun lakum in kuntum ta'lamun. Sadaqallahu al-azim. It says, O you who believe, shall I lead you to a bargain that will save you from a grievous penalty? Well, what's the bargain? That you believe in Allah and his apostle, and that you strive your utmost in the cause of Allah with your property and your person, that will be best for you if you but knew. ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرُ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Now, I didn't hear these words. There wasn't a need.
I get ready to say, you said the temple.
But this is what I heard. Why?
Yes,
because
sir.
I needed a bargain that would save me. I was already, the penalty was already going on. I was already being punished. So, yeah, I need a bargain. What's the bargain? Believe in God. Well, look, I'm ready for that. Well, you got to believe in the messenger, too. Well, I'm ready for that. Then you got to put everything that you got in the way of God. Well, I'm ready to do that. And that was best for me. And I can testify today. That was best for me.
Yes,
I heard
sir.
That message. I accepted that message. I never turned around. I was committed to changing my life. I didn't know where it was going to go. I certainly didn't know that I was going to be doing what I'm doing today, living
yes,
like
sir.
I live today, and have the opportunity to help people that I've helped people all over this country, in and outside this country, basically in various parts of the world. But it was that one decision. And because I did believe in Allah and his messenger, and I was willing to put everything, then the world opened. So what? Things start coming to me. People start coming to me.
Yes,
I had no idea. There's nothing in my background said I was going to be a doctor. Nothing. My mother didn't know anything about health. My father didn't know anything about health. My brothers and sisters didn't know anything about health. None of us. And it was only by the grace of Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad, Rahimullah Alayhi, who came in and said, look, we got to come out of this mindset that we've had yesterday about the white man is the only devil. So he changed that. He changed that attitude. So when I get into the 80s, this is a true story. When I get into the 80s, Connie's looking for a skincare line. She's going to market it. She wants to use it, but she's going to market the skincare line too. And there's a couple on the west side of Buffalo where I was born and raised, where we were living, and she calls to this company that's selling this product, and they sent us to the west side of Buffalo. She called Texas, but they sent us to the west side of Buffalo. So when I go to the west side of Buffalo, I go to this man's business, Caucasian. I think he's of German descent. He and his wife, he's a naturopathic doctor. He's a master herbalist. He's a nutritionist. His wife is a colon therapist. His store is being run out of his house. He took his garage and turned it into the store, very well stocked and everything. So when I go in there and tell him what we're looking for, he said, you all look like you're healthy, talking to me and Connie. He said, are you interested in learning something about health? So I said, well, yeah. He said, okay, this is the only stipulation. But after I teach you, you got to go out and touch somebody else. So I said, okay, I studied with this man for 2 years. He's a Caucasian. Now, if I would have still been holding on to what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave up, I never would have paid no attention to this man. I probably never even would have went into his business. But Allah just blessed us with Imam W.D. Muhammad, who came and took all these limitations off of our mind about what we can have, where we can go, and straightened our mind out, straightened our thinking out, took all that prejudice away from you. Took all that racist type of thinking away from you. All of that kind of, all those limitations, took all that stuff from us. Got rid of all of that. I know the date that it happened. That I made that decision was October 16, 1972. And life has not been the same based on that one decision, you all. So I'm saying to you all today, I don't know where I'm finding you. It doesn't matter. But I know that you're concerned about your health. I know you're concerned about your health. I know you want better health today, and you want better health tomorrow. And I'm here to tell you that you can have it, but you got to work for it. It's not going to be given to you.
Let me do this here, and not that it's needed, but it's proper. I need to read this here. It says Dr. Nuruddin is the author of two books, Causes, Symptoms, and Solutions, and co-author of The Five Essentials of Balanced Health. Dr. Nuruddin received his BA and MA in nutrition from the American Holistic College of Nutrition in Birmingham, Alabama. In addition, Dr. Nuruddin holds a PhD in holistic nutrition from the American Holistic College of Nutrition. His doctorate degree in naturopathy is from the Clayton School, naturopathy. Thank you. It's from the Clayton School of Natural Healing, also in Birmingham, Alabama. So I just want to put that into the atmosphere so people would know that. And it's always good to know someone's journey, and that you have a marvelous journey. You have a marvelous journey.
Mikhail, I want to say this in interruption. I had good mentors, and I listened to them. And that very same thing, look, and this is what I took away from them. If you find that I'm lying, then quite naturally, don't listen to me.
Right.
But, if you find out I don't know what I'm talking about, don't listen to me. This is the position I took with every mentor I had, every one of them. So whatever they told me to do, I did it. I did it as best as I possibly could do it. As the Quran says, do as much of this as easy for you, or much as you can do. That's what I did. That's what I did with Imam W.D. Muhammad. That's what I did with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I can. That's what I did with Ali Rashid. There's so many. That's what I did with Jerome, my captain in Washington, D.C. I did what they told me to do.
Yes, sir. Let me ask a question.
Kind of was having this conversation yesterday. How did we come from where we were to where we are? Only by the grace of God. His guidance.
Yes, sir. Okay, I have a few questions here, but I do want our listeners to press one. If they have a question or comment, this is the perfect time to ask along this field of nutrition, health, food, eating right, living right, exercising even. Let me begin with this question here. What should parents begin to teach their children, and at what age should we begin teaching our children what they need to know for your field of study?
Oh, no. You can start early. I mean, you get 7 to 8 years old. I can tell you this. It's going to be more about what you allow them to see between birth and 7 years old, because that's really where they're going to get condition that. So what you're cooking in the house, what you're not cooking in the house, what you're bringing into the house, what you're not bringing into the house, what they're hearing you say, what they're seeing you do, what they're seeing the neighbors do, what they hear, all of that's shaping early. That's 7 years old. But the main thing is, what are you feeding them? You got to start conditioning them. See, now, and look, my kids, my grandkids, my kids are gone, but my grandkids, they're pretty much here every day. And they don't like, just like yours don't, fruits and vegetables. So what we did was we got I have a company that I deal with that produces chewable fruits and vegetables. So we got chewable fruits and vegetables. So Connie makes sure before they leave during the school every morning, you take in one of these chewables, which is what? A fruit or a vegetable. The kids only need 2 of these a day. You take 2 of these a day, and then you're getting the equivalent of what the recommended daily allowance is of fruits and vegetables. See, these are the things we have to figure out early on. This is the teaching process. The teaching process should be more in what they're seeing as opposed to what you're just trying to tell them. So and there are certain things that you. I have to say this to you. There are certain things you got to demand that your children do, but you got to be able to demand it in a way that they think that they're making that decision to do it. Because you can say all day, look, you hear what I said? They don't care what you said. You hear what I said? Yeah. Well, do what I tell you to do. Then they go back and do what they're going to do anyway. So you can't get into their head. They can't get in yours, but we got to become smart enough to be able to lead them to where they want to go and have them thinking that it's their decision to eat this now because it's good for them. I told my granddaughter, she's 16 now. She's waking up 15. She's waking up now to the fact I need to get rid of some of this weight. So somebody told her about chlorophyll. So she went out and bought her some chlorophyll. She was drinking chlorophyll. The chlorophyll started making her go to the bathroom too often. So I said, well, that's not necessarily the way to go. I said, but do you really want to lose that weight? She said, yeah. I said, well, here, take this bottle here and start using one of these a day. Well, what was it for? It was for her liver, to clean up her liver. Now, she don't know exactly why she was taking chlorophyll, but somebody told her that it would work. So now here I come as her grandfather, and she listens to me anyway, but I had to come at her in a way where she's making this decision. So that's how we have to start with these children, to try to take these children where we got to go. And you got to, you can't just allow them to just go and do what they want to do. I mean, I don't believe that you have to whip your children in order to get them to do what they
right.
to do what they want to do. I don't believe you have to whip them to do it. I believe you can talk to their intelligence, and they will function as a little person and do what you ask them to do.
Well, you ask them to do it properly. But you know, I ask this question because there's so much pressure from commercials, from TV, or what their peers are doing. And so how do we get our children to think this way? And at what age is too early? You kind of indicated no age is too early, but in particular around 7. Get them to appreciate the value. Email Ayman, you have any questions or comments?
No, not at this time. I just want to keep going.
Yes, sir.
Let me, before we leave here. Let me bring something mm-hmm. else to your attention, because I just mentioned my granddaughter and losing weight.
Because
mm-hmm. quite naturally, well, she's thinking, now she wants to lose weight, so she's thinking maybe the chlorophyll would do it, because maybe that's what she heard. I'm not sure where that came from. Anyway, but let me share this about your liver. And
mm-hmm.
most of the people in the world today, and when I say the world, I'm talking about 7 billion people. Over 50 to 60%. Well, they say the numbers are higher than that, 50, 60% of those people are suffering from a fatty liver. Statistics. And so let me ask you, do you have any of these symptoms? Because I saw the symptom with her. She's overweight. The statistics say if you live in the U.S. or Canada, there's a 1, you have fatty liver. Even if you were never formally diagnosed with it, if you experience any of these risk factors, your liver is literally crying for help. Number one, if you have extra weight on your belly, thighs, or hips, if you have high cholesterol, if you feel tired and sluggish, you have mental fog and trouble focusing your attention, if you have those things, if your vision is blurry or sensitive to light, talk about your liver, your back or right side are constantly sore, if you have diarrhea or irregular bowel movements, if you were diagnosed with syndrome X or heart disease, if you have dark or brown urine, if you have insulin resistance or diabetes, assuming, well, this is alcohol here, and some people do, but we don't have to deal with that, and we don't. Or your mm-hmm. eyes or skin seem to have a yellowish tint. If your eyes or skin seem to have a yellowish tint, then you have a fatty liver. Now, your liver is in control of almost 500 different functions in your body.
Question. Now, make sure we get it right, and this is for my benefit, too. You're saying fatty, like F-A-T-T-Y, right? Fatty
F-A-T-T-Y.
Liver.
F-A-T-T-Y. Fatty liver. Because the fat has accumulated in the liver and was never removed. And so that fat mm-hmm. now builds up in the liver. As it builds up in the liver, it starts to overwhelm the liver. When we say fat here, we're really talking cholesterol. Fat and cholesterol. Cholesterol mm-hmm. is fat. You're basically talking the same thing. So as we consume, particularly saturated fat, the liver has to filter it. When it filters it, then it sends it to the gallbladder. Gallbladder holds it and then excretes a hormone called bile. Bile emulsifies fat. When I say emulsifies fat, it's like the dishwashing liquid. Dishwashing liquid breaks the fat down off of the plate. And then lipase is what digests the fat. So when the liver is not functioning properly, then you're going to have a problem with digestion. This is where acid reflux comes from. This is where burping comes from. This is where a lot of times it is the bile. Sometimes a person will literally throw up the bile. That bile will literally come up. Or if the stool, if you're paying attention to your stool, and we should all look behind us when we pass our way. You should look, what did you get rid of? You might see something alive. I'm telling you. You have to be, what's coming out? So we should always look back to see what's there. So your liver is controlling about 500 different functions in the body, and when it's not working, those things that I just mentioned, poor digestion, acid reflux, poor elimination, all these are processes that are actually, believe me, you don't feel good most of the time. Most of the time you don't feel good. When your digestion is off, you don't feel good most of the time. So you've got to get that.
What is the remedy?
In place.
What is the remedy for fatty liver?
Digestive enzymes with your meals. Couple of things. Again, eating based on body fat. Now, there's one food that none of us can manage, but all of us want, and that's sugar. Sugar is the biggest culprit. Sugar is a leech. It leaches calcium out of your bones. It leaches calcium from your teeth. It leaches calcium from your blood. And calcium from your blood is a buffer. The calcium is a buffer. But sugar will rob your system of calcium. And when it robs
your
system of
calcium,
you can feel a lot of pain. Some of us feel the type of pain that we feel every day because of the amount of sugar that we eat. If you would cut down on how much sugar you're consuming, you'd be surprised at how much pain would go away.
And what about man-made sweetness?
That's sugar. And even honey, though. See, now why am I talking to you about sugar? Because the primary food of these microbiotic organisms that evolve, that eventually will destroy the body, these are microbiotic. Oh, I have to give you this history, not the history, but the philosophy and the theory. If I take you back to Old Testament, it says we came from dust, and to dust we shall return. And the Quran tells us that the creation of Jesus was as it was of Adam. He was created from dust. So we know that. So man is created from dust based on what Scripture is saying. But when you think about dust, if you open your window now and let the sun come in, you're going to see dust floating everywhere. Particles of dust, they're everywhere. So you think ain't nothing to dust. But Scripture tells you that you come from dust. So if we take it now and mix some water with it, turn it into soil, and give it some other factors, then we know that that's what man is actually coming from. He's coming from soil. He's really rich. His body is really rich in proteins, carbohydrates, fats, vitamins, minerals, nutrients. You think about that's all in the body. That's exactly where he comes from. So making sure that you feed this thing, though, the ratios of what it needs in order for it to be healthy is critical to you having the best life that you can have on this side of the threshold of death, just being conscious of that. So these microorganisms, so we start off with bacteria. Bacteria really manifests itself when there's damage going on in the body. When there's damage in the body, these microorganisms, this dust now, there's a particle or there's an element in the dust that gives life to the dust. And as long as the body is in balance, then that particle or that microorganism has a symbiotic relationship with the body. It has a great relationship with the body. But when the damage starts taking place, then the microorganism, out of a need to try to rectify the problem, starts evolving. This is pleomorphic activity. This is not monomorphic activity. This is pleomorphic activity. So this microorganism now is evolving to bacteria. Bacteria is the cleanup crew. So bacteria is released. The bacteria is designed to clean up. If we didn't have bacteria, you'd have carcasses laying all over the face of the globe. Because when something dies,
yes, sir,
it would just stay there. But bacteria breaks it down. So bacteria is the cleanup crew. But if the damage keeps going on, then that same microorganism evolves from bacteria to yeast. And if the damage keeps going on, then it evolves from yeast to fungus. And if the damage keeps going on, it moves from fungus to mold. And if it keeps going on, it moves from mold to dust. So we don't really say you die. We say you mold, in essence,
mm-hmm.
because his body is going to go back into the case, going to go back into the dust that it came out of. Now, here was a scientist by the name of Anthony Bechamp. He was a Frenchman. He studied right
what
along
his name
the Pasteur. Most of us know about Anthony Bechamp, B-E-C-H-A-M-P. He was a contemporary of Louis Pasteur. Now, most of us know of Pasteur because of pasteurization, and Pasteur's philosophy really is what's moving the medical community today in the Western world. Well, what was his philosophy? His philosophy was that the same organism that I just mentioned to you, that I said was pleomorphic, he said it was monomorphic. He said that it's a germ and it only keeps one form. The chat say that's not true. He says it has more than one form. This microorganism takes on more than one form. So this is what the chat did to find out about this dust. A cat died. He took the cat, put it in a box, and left it there for 4 months. After 4 months, he opened the box, and quite naturally, there was nothing there but dust. He took the dust and put it under the microscope, and what he saw was living organisms in the dust. So what did he realize? Probably all he had to do was put a little water on it, and the life would have been coming back. The Quran says what? All life comes from water. So the life would have started coming back. So now, this is what is called, referred to as the carbon cycle, from bacteria to yeast to fungus to mold to dust. It will devolve, too, as soon as you start cleaning up the process. As soon as you start making some changes to bring about balance, then that same organism that evolved will start to devolve and go back.
Yes, sir.
To mold, to fungus, to yeast, to bacteria, mm-hmm. to that symbiotic relationship that organism has with your body. That's the carbon cycle.
Yes, sir.
Now look. No, okay, go ahead.
Question. Now, I want to encourage people to press 1 on their phone if they have any questions or comments. You've given us a lot of information and a lot of terms that we may not be able to capture in this conversation. I mean, we hear the terms. But,
no, you're right. Well, I know that all the time when I talk to people, but I do think that the language is lame enough for most people to get that underlying message, even though you don't understand the nomenclature, you know, the system of words, or you don't understand the definition of all of them, that's not really necessary. What is necessary, though, you get the idea of what I'm talking
right.
about, cleansing, detoxing, digestion,
thank
elimination, cleanly throwing, making sure you get enough sleep, making sure you drink enough water, eating the best foods as possible, reading the best material, the finest mind, praying, patience, self-contemplation.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Talk to us about skin. skin care? What should be just the skin on our physical body? What should we be looking for? What should we be seeing?
Cleaning up your liver. Your liver is controlling your skin.
Skin is the biggest organ in the body.
It's controlled by the liver. So as long as the liver is toxic and overwhelmed, or you've got a fatty liver, you'll have problems with your skin. So as soon as you start detoxing, now let me start. So what do you do for the liver? Let me give you that now. This is very simple, y'all. You're going to get a pink grapefruit or a red ruby grapefruit, which will give you about 6 ounces of water, 6 ounces of juice. And then you're going to get 4 ounces of virgin olive oil. It can be virgin or either light olive oil. You're going to mix 4 ounces of the light olive oil and 4 ounces of the pink grapefruit juice. And you're going to drink it down. Now, that grapefruit probably produced about 6 ounces of juice. So you're going to have 2 ounces left over. So you can chase it once you drink it. Once you mix the 4 and 4 together and you drink it, then you'll chase it with those other two. Then you just go lay down for an hour. Or you can go sit down and watch TV for an hour, and the flush is finished after an hour.
Give me that one more time. What is the ratio? What's the ratio again from olive oil and grapefruit juice?
4 ounces of pink. Great. If you don't have a red grapefruit or a pink grapefruit, use a regular grapefruit.
Mm-hmm.
4 ounces of the grapefruit juice and 4 ounces of the olive oil. Mix it together, then drink it. Now, one thing we suggest, you have to make sure that your bowel is moving. If you had a bowel movement that day, that's a good sign. If you didn't have one that day, what you're going to do, and you should do this even if you had one, is use like a half a teaspoon of Celtic salt or Hawaiian salt or Himalayan salt or even a sea salt. About an hour before you get ready to drink this concoction. This way we know, and you want to put it in like a tippet water, a warm water, and drink that 8 ounces of that salt water about an hour before you flush. And then you know that the bowel is going to move. And after an hour, the flush is finished. So that, when you start if you want to take a burden off your kidneys, work on your liver. See, the liver doesn't dump directly from the body. Let's look at the eliminator channels now. The skin dumps directly from the body. The bowel dumps directly from the body. The kidneys dump directly from the body. The lungs dump directly from the body. The liver doesn't dump directly from the body. The liver has to dump into the bowel and into the kidneys. So when you start working on your liver, you're starting to take a burden off your kidneys. This is a big thing for us to understand. Why? Look how big dialysis is today. I just told you over half of 7 billion people have a fatty liver. Look how big dialysis is today. And I'm going to tell you, going directly to the kidneys is not going to help you. That you can go for dialysis 3 times a week. It does nothing to restore kidney function. Dialysis does nothing to restore kidney function. So stop and think about this. And now, look, today they will put you on dialysis even if you have kidney function left. Now, when I started 35, 40 years ago, they wouldn't put you on dialysis if you still had kidney function. If you still had 10%, 15%, 20% kidney function, they wouldn't put you on dialysis. Today they will. Well, why? Because the government will pay for it. And who is suffering more from chronic kidney disease than indigenous African Americans? We suffer at much higher rates than anybody else. There are more dialysis clinics opening up in our community every day than anybody's community. And I'm telling you, I'll say this again. Yeah, I'll say this again. Clean up your liver. Clean up your liver. It's going to take a burden off your kidneys. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. Because you keep coming back to the liver, and also the kidney. So I think we should be making note of that. Question. Okay, we have the United States Department of Agriculture, USDA. We have very many doctors. We have to trust these entities and individuals. But how much knowledge do we need to take with us when engaged in these entities and doctors? How much education, or how well should we know our own body before going to see a doctor? Because I've seen doctors make decisions based upon a person having, a doctor make a different decision based upon a person having better knowledge of themselves and their body.
Most people don't know enough about their bodies. Most people, they don't. We don't study, but we should. We should be encouraged. This is the value of community. Community is supposed to be staging and hosting forums like what you're doing with me here today, like what we do with Nurse Correll, Dr. Ramadan, our consortium, the community. That's where we should be looking. Let them look at the information that's coming from the government, our own leaders, and then let them, and then they'll come up and say, okay, this is what we think we should do as community. That's what they're going to do. Now, even when they come up with their decision, you still got your own. But we have to, you got to trust. You have to have a certain amount of trust and a certain amount of faith. But in who?
True.
First and foremost. I'm going to Dr. Ramadan first, y'all. That's where I'm going first. I'm going to Dr. Nuruddin first. I'm going to Nurse Correll first. I'm going to somebody in my community first. Now, I'm hearing what CDC is saying and FDA is saying, okay, fine. I'm not against any of that. We obey the rules. We obey the law. But I'm going to go to my own. I'm going to go to my own people. What is Master saying? What is Dr. Ahmed saying? What is Ali saying? What is Wazir saying? Look at Wazir. This is the future. So what is he saying about health? What am I going to listen to Ron Paul for? What is Ron Paul going to tell me about my health? Ain't nothing they can tell me.
So is there? Okay, what you indicate, and I heard some talk of it, there is a Muslim medical group that we can tap into?
Yeah, the consortium, the health consortium. Let me tell you what they're working on.
The health consortium?
Yeah. Look.
How can you get hold of them? Go ahead.
Just get in touch with Dr. Ramadan. But let me share something with you. The Imams in the Mid-Atlantic section. We're on live one day with our regular meeting. And so health comes up. Well, quite naturally came up because I brought it up. So health comes up, and we're looking at, okay, well, look, we got to have something. We need something. Now, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had how to eat the liver. So, but we don't have a document. So what we need is a document. So anyway, as a result of that conversation that I'm having with Imam, we came up with Mid-Atlantic section saying, okay, look, this is what we need to do. Let's ask the consortium to create a manual, a book, some instructions, a guide, or something that people in the community can use. They're not under an obligation to do it, but we need to put something out there for them. So if we take some of what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave, if we don't take all of it, if we take some of that and then mix it with this contemporary understanding that we have of health today and the conditions that we're faced with, then we can serve our public and give them something. So that's what they're doing now. They're working on a book now. They're working on a document right now that we can provide for the public. relevant to our health.
Great. Yes, sir.
So that's
and just a fast note.
There's work going on. Yeah. Huh?
Yeah, now just a fast note for those who are on Facebook. You can go to Facebook and go to Muslim Health Consortium.
Consortium, yeah.
Muslim Health. Now this has CONSORTIUM on Facebook, but I think
yeah.
this is a group because it mentions Sister Carl's name as being
mm-hmm.
one of the admins. So, but so this is good for us to know, and I want people to make note that we do have within our Association of Muslims a body who doctors, people in the medical field who are looking out for our best interests.
That's right.
Call us.
That's right.
We got about 40 minutes left, and this is an extra time to press one on the phone to ask questions or comments. I'm going to see if Hyman has anything he wanted to ask.
I wanted to ask a question,
yeah.
definitely.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
sir.
Yeah, if I can ask it at this time. Yes, Dr. Nuruddin,
yes.
I know I heard you mention the liver and the kidney. And you said that the problem really is the liver as opposed to the kidney. In other words, if the liver is bad, then the kidney, it will definitely affect the kidney. I think that's what you were saying. So
sure.
what I need to know is what, okay, can dialysis treatment be reversed if you treat the liver, right?
Well, the body has an instinctive wisdom. It's got an instinctive intelligence. We don't know which way it will go to do certain things. Let me give you an example. Let's say the body does need to be detoxed. Well, we could want it to come out of the skin, but the body may want it to come out of the bowel. We could want it to come out of the bowel. The body may want it to come out of the kidney. So it's going to decide which way we're going to eliminate this waste once we start the process of detoxification. But we know you can have a problem with your kidneys now and not have a problem with your liver. That's possible. So, but we know that the liver has to dump directly into the kidney as well as the bowel. So if you got a problem with your liver, it's certainly going to affect the kidneys. But you could have a kidney problem and not necessarily have a liver problem. So I just wanted to straighten that out.
Yeah. So how do you treat the liver then? How do you treat the liver to make sure that your liver is strong?
Detox it. Now, what I did with my granddaughter, I gave her a liver detox. I gave her a supplement that detoxes the liver. What I do with most of my clients, I get them to detox their liver, as I just shared with you all, through the use of the grapefruit juice and the olive oil. The fastest way to get that out of there, to get the waste out of there, is with the flush, the liver and the gallbladder flush. And that's what I just shared.
The liver and the gallbladder flush. So is that CKLS? Is that one of the things that is used?
No. But CKLS, you may be able to use CKLS because it's a combination and it has elements in there for the liver, the kidneys, the bowels. He's got quite a bit of stuff in there. But that
yeah.
is not going to move waste out of there like flushing will. That formula will work now if you're consistent with it year after year after year, and you're doing some other things because that by itself is the cure-all. But quite naturally, it will help out tremendously.
Yes. Thank you.
And just a question, if I may. How often should a person flush? You mentioned
at
grapefruit juice, red grapefruit.
I say twice a month, Mikhail, but this is,
okay.
I have to turn the question around. If you are 50 years old and you've never flushed, then you should flush at least one time for every year you've been alive. So that means you need to do 50 flushes. Well,
wow.
Wait a minute. I mean, but you're putting it on a timeline. 50 plus is over how much?
For every year, for every year you've been alive. For every year you've been alive.
But how often? Once a week?
Well,
once a day?
No. I'm just using that as a hypothetical. What I suggest for a person who hasn't done any cleansing like that over those 50 years is that they start doing this twice a month.
You start flushing
your liver and your kidneys twice a month. Use this formula twice a month. Now, how hard is this? And look, and it's inexpensive. Do you want to save your liver? Do you want to save your kidneys? Do you want to save your bowels?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to be free of indigestion and acid reflux? Do you want to sleep better at night? Do you want more energy and vitality? This is the question I'm asking you. And if you say yes, then do what I say do until you know I'm lying or I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it is.
Yes, sir. Yeah, let me I have a few more questions I feel are very important. And do want my callers to, if they have a question online, please call in. But one I want to ask, thing we can do very quickly. One is sleep. There's a hadith people say all the time, said that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he was sleep laying on his right side. Have you heard that, thought about that, or is there any medical advantage to sleeping, laying on your right side?
No, I don't know of any advantage of it. Not at all. That I don't know.
Great, right. Okay, also another question I wanted to ask. A very good friend of mine, another Khalid Sharif, he's in Chicago, and he, without fail, I talk to him 10 times a day. He always goes to say before he hang up, his comment is, make food your medicine, not medicine,
your food. Should be
your food.
That's right. Your food should be your medicine.
Yes, so.
That's the part of the Hippocratic Oath. First of all, do no harm. Food should be your medicine.
Wow.
That's in their oath.
But they don't teach us. But doctors, and we know, I'm not trying to tell, if anybody is on medication from a doctor, don't let what I'm going to say stop you because I'm not a doctor. But I have my own personal experiences. I had doctors try to give me medicine, and as soon as they said, I said, is there another way? And it was through the nurse aid, but they said, yeah, diet and exercise. I'm like, in my mind, I was like, why did they not tell me that first? If I hadn't asked, if I just said, okay, they would have said that. And then another doctor I talked to a few years back, he said, once you begin taking this medicine, after a while, you're going to need to take another medicine because that first medicine is going to trigger a need for this second medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And then so you'd be on a medicine chain, like a slave chain. Talk to us about that. We had two callers now. But talk to us about that. I know we're not trying to tell nobody
let me take medicine.
From
this standpoint.
Yes. Yes, sir.
You know, they will give you allopathic medicine. Will give you a clean bill of health. Medical doctors.
Mm-hmm.
The medical profession is the allopathic profession.
Allopathic
medicine.
Okay.
Allopathic medicine sedates, operates, and medicates. This is what doctors do. They go to school to learn how to sedate, how to medicate, and how to operate. That's what they go to school for. They don't go to school to show you how to build better health. They're there to try to maintain and control disease. Most of the serious deaths that have taken place have come because of infectious disease, as opposed to just, you know, diabetes or cancer or whatever. It's just like what we're having right here with this pandemic right now. There's already Chicago, over 600,000 people. This is how most of the deaths, wholesale deaths like what we're experiencing here from infectious disease has taken place. That's what has killed most people down through time. And vaccinations, so do we want to get into that today?
Yes, sir. If you got time, But before you go further, spell that for me. You say allopathic medicine? How you spell that?
Allopathic. Yeah, it's A-L-O-P-A-T-H-I-C. Allopathic medicine.
Got it.
Let me share something with you all now about getting your health back where it needs to be. It's 5% strategy, 95% mindset.
Mindset. Okay.
It's 5% strategy. What should I eat? What are the foods that I should be eating? What are the foods that I should stay away from? I need to be exercising. How often should I exercise? What time should I go to bed? This is the strategy. But the answer is in the mindset. Are you committed to your health? Are you committed to doing these things? It's about you getting your mind where it needs to be. Yeah, wake up in the morning knowing that you're headed somewhere. What's your goals for your health? What's the objective for your health? What do you want for your health? If you don't have no goals, believe me, you just go from day to day, careening from one place to the other, and nothing really ever happens. You have to have goals for your health, just like you have goals for everything else. And I'm saying to you, becomes easy when we get our mind acclimated towards health. It's the same thing with abundance. If you don't create the vibration for it, you're not going to attract it. And you do have to attract it.
In the ether,
all around us is good advice and bad advice in the ether. And based on our conditioning, that's the determining factor as to what we're pulling, extracting from the ether, whether it's good ideas or bad ideas.
What is the ether?
The dividing line between what you can see and what you cannot see.
Okay.
It's the dividing line between the manifestation and the non. It's the dividing line between the materialization and that which you cannot see. It's the dividing line between what's obvious and what's hidden.
Yeah, I have two callers. I'm going to take the first call, if I may. This call is from 773. Caller from 773. Thanks for calling Works Made People. Can you give us your first name and your city, please? And your question, comment.
Shakira, Chicago. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, ma'am.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Imam Nuruddin, I have two questions real quick. The one, how to determine the body types to know the different kind of foods that you can eat and can't eat.
Uh-huh.
That's the first question. The second question was when you was talking about doing the flesh and you was mentioning about the salt water that you could take before the flesh.
Uh-huh.
What was the reasoning for taking the salt water before the flesh? I didn't understand. So those are my two questions.
Okay. The salt water is to make sure, to make sure that the bile moves. Salt, you put salt in warm water, or it could be cold water too. If you got enough salt in there, it will cause your bile to move. It'll give you diarrhea. So the salt is designed to make sure that when you flush this waste material out of the gallbladder and the liver, that it goes out of the body because the bile is open.
Mm-hmm.
If the bile is not open and you push, which that concoction will, push that waste material out of the liver and the gallbladder, and it doesn't go immediately out of the body, then you may feel mildly poisoned. You may feel a little nauseated, or you're feeling, what's going on with this? But because of the oil and stuff that's in the body, eventually it's going to pass. But you got to make sure that the bowel is open because olive oil creates a convulsive action for the liver. That's too much oil for the liver to handle at any one time, so it starts pushing everything out. And as it pushes it out, the gallbladder picks it up, but the gallbladder is going to push it out of itself too into the bloodstream, so you got to make sure that it goes out of the body. Otherwise, It's going to saturate the blood and you'll feel mm-hmm. like you're mildly poisoned.
What kind of salt was that again? You mentioned the type of salt.
And how much also?
Sister Shakira, is that you? Can I answer your question?
Yes, sir. Thank you. I had another question, but how much salt you said? It was how much salt?
Just a half a teaspoon. You only need a half a teaspoon, and the water should just be a little warm.
Oh, okay. I appreciate you giving us a lot of information. Appreciate it. And the other question was the body type.
Dr. Nordine, yeah, before you answer that, can you tell us the type of salt we need to use?
Himalayan salt.
Himalayan salt. Okay.
Himalayan. Or Hawaiian. Or Celtic.
Celtic, yes.
And you can use the sea salt, too.
Or sea salt. Okay. And she asked about her first question was, how do you determine?
What you need to do, Sister Sakina, is go to my website and then go to my calendar and book an appointment there. I give you a free appointment. Anybody on the line today, I give you a free consultation. You got it today, though. I give you a free consultation. It's a 30-minute consultation. But through that consultation, if you desire to go further based on what you're sharing with me and what I can share with you, then you'll actually find out what your body type is. Because I can't tell it to you now. You'd have to answer some questions for me. And once I get the answers to those questions, then I can tell you what your type is and then recommend that menu specifically for your body type.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and once again, give us your site again. Was it drnordine.com, I think you said?
Mm-hmm. That's what it is. It's drnurdine.com. And there, go to the calendar there for appointments and just make an appointment there. Again, I say that for anybody on the line today. I'll give you a free 30-minute consultation. Just go there and book it.
Okay, we have another caller on hold, but I do want to ask you a question about the COVID-19 vaccine. And what are your thoughts about that?
Well, this is a different process for vaccines. This messenger RNA is a different process.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they didn't just start using messenger RNA. Messenger RNA has been around for some time. They got other vaccines out that they've used messenger RNA for. But they use messenger RNA for it. Now, this one here, it's stored in a fat molecule. So basically what they're going to shoot into your body is a fat molecule. In that fat molecule is information, really, is what they're sending into the body. So they put this information into the fat molecules, send it into the body, and then it elicits, it's going to cause a response to take place. Those spike proteins, quite naturally, is what got to the lungs that causes the problem. Now, messenger RNA, here's the thing about what we need to understand about the virus itself. The virus is a protein. I'm going to make this very simple for you all. Very
okay.
Easy. The virus is a protein. So that virus has spikes to it. That
mm-hmm.
protein has spikes to it. And what that protein does is it docks, D-O-C-K-S, it docks to the lungs. If you take proteolytic enzymes. Now, okay, attention to what I'm telling you. If you take proteolytic enzymes, you will break down that coat that's on the virus. It's a protein coat. It's really protein, but it's a protein coat that's holding the spike. So if you take some of these enzymes at a therapeutic rate, then you're going to break down the coat that's on the virus, and the virus will not be able to dock to the lungs. Now, you say, that's just too simple. I'm telling you what the reality is. Look, y'all, I'm not against vaccines. The last one I had, I was going to Uganda one year, and I didn't want to take the vaccine, but they weren't going to let me go if I didn't take the vaccine. So I went to the doctor's office, and when I get in there, I see the nurse. I said, is this a live virus? Because they were putting a live virus into the vaccine then. Oh, this is 25, 30 years ago. Anyway, she gives me the shot. So Connie and I, we go out to dinner that night. This is a true story. We go out to dinner that night. Before dinner was over with, I could barely get up from the table. This thing had come down on me, and I was really feeling like I was poor. In fact, I couldn't even drive home that night. And I think as soon as I got home, I went to bed. That was after getting that vaccine. It was probably for malaria. Okay, and it probably had some of these other elements in it, too, that people are very mindful and conscious of that they don't want to take, like mercury, because they were putting mercury also into vaccines right along with some of the – yeah, they put mercury in it, along with some of the virus itself. Well, now that's not what's in messenger RNA. They didn't put the virus is not in there. There is no those other elements are not in there. There's no mercury in there. So when I read those things and I looked at what they're doing and how what they're basically doing now is getting the information. The man has learned how to tap into this information, this internal wisdom that the body has. And he's able to use it to keep himself healthy. Now, vaccines, why vaccine? Because that's what the global public is today. You got 7 billion people on the globe. The majority of those people are not going to do what I do every day. They're not going to take vitamin C every day. They're not going to take vitamin E every day. They're not going to take zinc every day. They're not going to take copper every day. They're not going to use herbal botanicals every day. Those things will do the same thing for you that the vaccine does for you.
The mind's
there. A lot of these people on the other side are screaming. Why are they screaming? Because they know that there are other means and methods that government could be using that government is not using. That's why they're saying what the situation is, because we know this ain't the only game in town. Vaccines are not the only game in town. In fact, look, the microscope opened up the world for man. When the microscope came, it opened and let man see things he couldn't see before. And he's able to drill down into substances that he couldn't drill down before. But then, in time, the vaccine, as the population grows, man has to figure out, what do I do? Because the infectious disease is really what's killing people more so than anything. We can go back to 1918 and see where infectious disease killed almost 50 million people.
But one thing that you said, this
vaccine is different.
I mean, but one thing that you said that I heard, and I want to just kind of look it kind of slow. And you correct me if I say it wrong. You are not saying that you are against the vaccine. As a matter of fact, I'm indicating the only reason, or not the only reason, the main reason why you will support the vaccine is because people don't have the mindset, as you said, to take zinc every day, to take copper every day. So it is safer for the
global public
to give the vaccine, because the majority of the people, the vast majority of the people, are not disciplined enough to do what you do.
That's correct. So in that regard,
you probably would advise, yes, for the average person, more than the average person, get the vaccine, because you're not going to do it right. excuse me for saying this so directly.
Well,
but that's what I'm hearing you say. Am I correct?
And that you're exactly correct. Now, I took the vaccine. Now, many of you might have been on study hours this morning that.
You took the vaccine even though you're already doing the necessary things to not need a vaccine? That's interesting.
Yeah. Otherwise, I ain't going to be able to get on the plane. I ain't going to be able to leave the country.
Okay.
I ain't going to be able to go so-and-so.
I
ain't going to be able to go such-and-such. That's the only reason why.
Gotcha.
Because I can see the restrictions coming. So it's coming now. You follow what I'm saying? And I still take a new AZ every day. I take my formula every day, and I've taken the vaccine. But I knew in the beginning.
I did too.
I wasn't afraid of it in the beginning, and I knew it wasn't going to hurt me. And after I studied it, and not only that, but I listened to Dr. Ramadan, and I listened to Nurse Cornell. I was listening to them. They were studying it. They were looking at it. So I had to say, well, wait a minute, hold it. You know? Now, first of all, and I said, God forbid something happens to one of the members in the community and I can't get on the plane and go somewhere. I'm not going to allow that to happen. So, come on, Connie, let's go do this. And we did it. And then, look. And then
well,
then
make that. Go
now,
ahead.
I can say this now. If you have underlying conditions, you could have a reaction. You could have a reaction with it. Because anytime you penetrate the skin, once you cross that barrier, then the immune system is automatically heightened. It's going to go up. It's going to question, what are you doing in here? Can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
And if whatever is in there don't answer correctly, then the immune system attacks it. That's what it does.
Let me ask one more question on this COVID-19. Then we got two callers on hold. Just for our benefit, I heard this months ago, and you hit it again today. Describe for us in layman's term, messenger RNA, from my understanding, is not that they are putting medicine or whatever inside of us. As you said, that it's called messenger. That's a key word, right? Messenger RNA. It's like RNA is DNA kind of. But so they are putting a message into our body to trigger whatever's needed. Am I correct in saying that?
The RNA is carrying the message from the DNA. The RNA is the messenger of the DNA.
But it is not a medicine per se. It is a messenger.
It's information.
A mailman.
Yeah, it's information.
Yes.
In essence.
Yes, you can give that to us in layman's terms. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I don't know how you say it any lamer than that, but that's what RNA is. You have DNA and you have RNA. All RNA is the messenger for whatever the code is in the DNA. See, once we got the genetic code from the Chinese in January, then they knew how to put together the vaccine because we had the code.
The people, the brother Mao. And I think you can appreciate this. People are going to have a hard time wrapping their mind around that injection being like the mailman, so to speak, being a carrier of a message. They think they're putting the actual medicine or something in inside of them. But what
you're putting a substance in there. I mean, there is a substance to it. They're using fat
to carry the message to our body, but they're not putting penicillin, they're not putting
medicine in our body.
They're putting fat in our body, and the fat is carrying the message to trigger the DNA to do what it got to do.
That's correct. There you
That's important
That's
for us to know.
Right, here's the main thing, though, let's go back. It is a protein coat on the virus. And if you destroy the coat, then the virus cannot get to the lungs. Period.
You say it again, please, now? No, I'll make sure I understand that. Say it again, please.
I said that the virus, that COVID-19 is wearing a coat. That coat is made of protein. And that protein has spikes to it. They dock to the lungs. This is what causes the problems with the lungs. Because that's what
when you
COVID
say dock to the
lungs.
When you say dock to the lungs, you mean those little spikes made the COVID attached to. Is this why they got those little bitty red, whenever they show
that
picture, you know, it's a graphic.
Right.
They show a little bitty red, there's a little bitty red thing. Those are the little red spikes that will attach to the lung that causes the problems.
Right.
And
so
that's the coat or the armor that protects the virus. So how do we get past that coat?
Pyrrolytic enzymes. You need protease.
Good enzymes.
You need good
pyrrolytic
enzymes. Those pyrrolytic
enzymes will
break down that coat.
You know, and let me say this here.
If the coat is broken down, then it cannot attach itself to the lungs. And you got to remember now, this virus here attacks the lower part of the lungs, not the upper part of the lungs. So here, look.
It's like pneumonia.
When they put you on the ventilator, you're better off on a ventilator if it's the upper part of your lungs, since you got a breathing problem. The lower part, when they put you need an inhaler. You're better off with an inhaler with COVID-19 than that bigger machine with all the oxygen coming in. So look. Doctors, scientists from outside of America, scientists that I deal with, that I come in contact with, owners of companies, nutritional companies, when they look at this process and how this process is going, it's backwards. They're not against vaccines either, but they know that there's other methods to use. But when you're using a ventilator to address this problem with COVID-19, which attacks the lower part of the lungs where the moisture is going to build up, you only cause more of a problem for the person. If it's better for you, if you got somebody that's going to the hospital, tell them to use an inhaler. If they come to you with a ventilator and say, no, I don't want the ventilator, just give me an inhaler. The inhaler will let you breathe too, but it's not going to overwhelm the lower part of your lungs like what the ventilator will do. You think, look, we have all these ventilators and all these people up. All these people, why are so many people dead then? Why are so many people dying? It's just not, not just because of the virus, it's because of the treatment too.
Yes, sir. Yes, and I heard that too. They say once you get on the machine, it's hard to get off of it. I got two more callers. I do want to ask you real quickly about
CMOS. Let me give you this, though. Here's what you should do. This is everybody, whether you've been vaccinated or not. Two variants out there right now. You got Delta out there, and then they say they got Mu out there. Only viruses come only from viruses. That's where it comes. So you got two variants out there. So why do I take the immune AV every day? Because the variant is out there. This is what I know. Even though I know that
what's out there.
The variant, the Delta virus is out there. That's the variant.
The Delta virus, the variant, okay.
Yeah, that has come from COVID-19. But then there's another one that's out there now. So these variants are divided. So the immune AV, now, just like they created the allopathic community, those that operate today in Medicaid, just like they created a vaccine for this virus, we created a formula for the virus. We improved our formula for the virus, immune AV, and turned it into, now let me show you what's in this formula. This is what all y'all need to be using. You got vitamin A in here. You got vitamin C in here. You got zinc in here. You've got astragalus herb in here, echinacea root in here. Then you also have lysine, copper, milk thistle, elderberry powder, reishi mushroom extract, lion's mane, polyarco, cordyceps. Now, this is my formula. This is one that's created for me. And you got an enzyme blend in here. And quercetin is in here also. And you got an enzyme blend in here. Now, if you, whether you had a vaccine or not, if you was taking this every day, then you're protecting yourself every day. How do you take this? You got 60 caps in this bottle. The first 5 days, you take two caps. Two caps a day for the first 5 days, and then you just start using one cap a day. That's all you got to do. So what,
I'd like to get some of that right now.
Here was the thing that they said to us. They said if you, this is what they said early. They said if you take the vaccine, it's going to protect you from the virus. Okay, so we all said, yeah, okay. So we take the vaccine, but now it doesn't mean that because you took the vaccine that you still can't pick up the virus. You can still pick up the virus and be asymptomatic and pass it on to people who don't know, that they don't know you're asymptomatic. So you still have to wear your mask. You still have to put that mask
on. Sir.
I don't care if you've been vaccinated. Yes.
Yes, sir. This is good. I got two callers on hold. And I showed the schedule to go off in 3 minutes, but I did schedule an extra half hour. So if we go over a little bit, we're going to be okay. But if I can get these callers in. And
sure.
I got to say this here. We have to thank Allah for you. Yeah. I'll leave it right there. I mean, we have to,
yes.
We have to recognize.
I got to get that formula he just talked about, too. I had to get me some right now.
Okay, well, we're at the 2 hour and 57 minutes. We go through the archive. These shows are archived. So anybody missed the show you want to listen to later on, if you got the link we sent, you can hear the show again next week, next year even. Okay, very patient caller from 310 area code. Caller from 310. Thanks for calling Words Made People. Can you give us your first name, your city, and your question and comment?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sami from Los Angeles. I just
yes,
want to thank Dr. Nuruddin and yourself as well, Brother Mikhail and Imam Ayman.
Yes, sir.
I thank a lot for the Muslim Health Consortium and Dr. Nuruddin in particular for coming on today. I have a comment on a question, more a question, I suppose, on prostate health. How to lower your PSA if you have a high PSA, and also is salt palmetto, which is a vitamin, is that effective as opposed to taking Flomax, which is a prescription that you may receive from your doctor? And I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Flomax is not going to do anything to repair the prostate at all. Let me say this to all of the men that are on the line today. Every male, well, I don't want to say every male, but most every male is going to have a problem with their prostate as they grow older. We're going to have a second growth. And as the second growth takes place, it has a tendency to pinch the prostate grows. And that's got to come back to me.
Mm-hmm.
The prostate will grow on us, and as it grows on us, it's the urethra. It starts to pinch off the urethra. The urethra is where your urine flows through. It's around the urethra. So as that prostate grows, And what causes it to go into a strange growth, possibly? Some of the things that cause it to be facilitated are sugar, too much sugar, spices, spicy foods. So most times urologists will suggest that we stay away from sugar and spicy foods, but most of us are going to have a problem with our prostate. Saw palmetto has a tendency to saturate that tissue in the prostate and loosen it up so that
mm-hmm.
urination becomes easier for the person. There are other herbal botanicals out there that can be used in addition to saw palmetto in combination to work with the prostate. But Flomax,
question.
Flomax will help you urinate better, but it's not going to do anything to improve the condition. The saw palmetto will improve the condition of the prostate, but you got to use it. You have to use it regularly, and you can't get tired of using it. You know, otherwise, because if you've got a serious problem and urine is building up in the bladder, and if too much urine gets in the bladder, then your bowel can't move. That's most times when we head for the hospital, males. We head for the hospital
because
your bowel can't move. Yes.
Just real quick, I typed in salt, S-A-L-T, but it came up S-A-W, palmetto. Is that
salt
correct?
Palmetto. Yeah, that's right.
Let me just tell you, it's S-A-W.
No, I got. I have S-A-L, palmetto.
S-A-L?
It could be that.
Okay.
You're going to find it. Just type in palmetto. You get the whole thing.
Yes, sir. It's
okay,
S-A-L.
Yeah, so let me say this again to the males again, because you got to make sure that you can void the bladder, that you can empty the bladder. If you can't empty the bladder and you have a problem here with your prostate, urine can back up from the bladder into the kidneys. And lead to infection. So you don't want to happen. So what do? Well, you may have to catheterize. If you're a male and you're not gonna have any operation or anything on your prostate, and believe me, I'm not sending anybody for biopsies. But this is another story I can tell y'all. Take me a long time. But I'm not sending anybody for biopsy. If you have to catheterize, then I suggest that you do it, as opposed to having to get biopsies, cancer itself. You know, so now I can't tell you to don't do something that your doctor is telling you to do. Don't take something that your doctor is telling you not to take. But personally, I mean, a biopsy only leads to more complications. It's a $3 billion a year business. In fact, the person that came out with the prostate test says they've only abused it and misused it. And they've said now that the PSA test is a marker for cancer. Not necessarily so. You could have cancer and your PSA be high. Or your PSA can be high and you don't have cancer. So it's not a legitimate marker for cancer, but they use it. But it turned into a $3 billion a year business, and that's why they're not going to stop. And you ladies, they got you doing biopsies too. You're part of that $3 billion. Why? Because the fat cells are targets, and that fatty tissue in the breast of females is a target. So that's another reason why flushing your liver, keeping your liver clean is critical, just to protect that tissue from cancer. Yes, because this is what we know. This is what we know as naturopaths. If you will keep your liver clean, it's almost impossible for you to get cancer.
Just keep
that
it in liberty.
Brother Sami, does that answer your question?
Yes, that was very, very helpful. Very helpful. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
assalam. Let me get my last caller in here if I can. This is a caller from 520. 520, thank you for calling Words Made People. Can you give us your first name, city, your question or comment, please? 520-400. Well, Dr. Nurdin, it's a little bit past 3. I guess 520, maybe they were on hold too long. I don't know.
They
may be on mute,
but
we're going to move on.
And they might have gotten the answer.
Yes, for somebody else. That's true. That's true. This has been really fantastic. Let me see. I think I covered. Oh, I was asking about sea moss. That's been something new that has came up. Wait a minute. I call it 520, but they're back. But if you can, well, I'm going to take the caller first. But they can then give us a comment, if any, you have on sea moss. But right now, I call it from 520. Can you give us your first name and your city, please? I think they're having phone trouble because they went out and came back in. 520, can you hear us? They got phone trouble. Dr. Nurdin, I've been seeing sea moss and this. People, I've heard a little bit about it. I've seen guys even standing on the corner selling the sea moss. I mean, they got a table and a little booth set up. What is your understanding or your take on sea moss?
One of the better herbal botanicals that you can use. Sea moss, Irish moss, also named Irish moss, got other names to it. Heavy in nutrients, most all of the nutrients, B, C, you name it. It's got it. And it's an immune booster. That's why it's so popular, particularly right now. It's an immune booster. It will boost the immune. It's got all these elements in there. It's going to boost the immune response. You know, so that's why you're seeing so many people using it today. And you're hearing it talked about because of how heavy it is in nutrients. So it's going to boost the immune response. It's one of the first herbal botanicals that we started using long ago. In our practice, it's one of the better elements that you can. All of us should be using it. If you can get your hands on it, you should be using it. Put it in your body every day. You say, "Well, what is it going to do?" Give it a chance to do what it will do. Let's understand this. There's nothing from outside of you that you can put in your body that will heal you. Your body has to heal itself. Everything that you put in it, whether it's an herb, a drug, a pharmaceutical, or whatever, can only be a raw material for the body to use. So it will use that raw material, that instinctive wisdom, that instinctive intelligence that it has. Once that element comes into the system, it'll know right away how to use it, and it will use it. That's the wisdom of your body. And here's the other thing. Sometimes you can take this and say, well, I'm going to take sea moss just because I need some vitamins and minerals. So you take sea moss, but before it'll just give you just vitamins and minerals like that, it'll go to work somewhere where there's a problem in the body. And once it addresses that problem, then it will start working for what you took it for. This is the wisdom of the body.
Yes.
That's the instinctive intelligence and wisdom of life. A lot of times we're taking stuff for one thing, and then we say, oh, this ain't working, but something else is happening. Something else is getting better. That thing right now ain't working, but this thing over here is working. And as soon as the body repairs that, what you're taking, this element, then it'll go to work with what you originally took it for.
Okay, a question on CMO, because I've never seen it. I don't know how to look at anything. So what can I can just go in online and find out more about it. I don't want to go to the guy on the corner. He's on the bootleg.
Well, it depends on what you're prepared to do. See, some people have it in a raw form, and you can take it and, you know, take it and hook it up the way that you want it, make it as strong as you want it or whatever. But then you can also go and buy it you know, in some herbal stores, and you can sometimes find it in combination. In fact, that's probably how I would use it. I would use it in combination with other herbal botanicals that will do pretty much, that will also help to boost the immune response.
Yes, sir.
And give vitamins and minerals
yes,
to my body.
Okay, thank you. I know it's a bit past 3:520, he keeps going out, coming back in. We're going to give him one last chance. I think I know who it is. My brother from Texas. 520, we're going to try you again. Can you talk to us?
He's from Arizona.
Yes. Okay, I have his line open. 520, can you hear us? Wow.
He might have his phone on mute.
Yeah, but he went in and out 3 times, which means to me he's got something he wants to share. But he just hung up. His call just dropped. Well, it's past 3:00. We have kept our brother Nuruddin on for a while. I do want him to take 2 or 3 minutes and tell us about your fundraiser for your Imam W.D. Muhammad Center.
Yeah, I am so happy to tell. First of all, let me thank you. For your participation, your willingness to participate in sharing the story of the Imam and with the Imam or experiences that you had. It turns out to be very, very successful. In fact, monies are still coming in. Quite naturally, the fundraiser is ongoing. It's nonstop. You can
tell us what is the fundraiser, because we kind of skipped over that.
What we have here in Greensboro, we have a 32,000 square foot in Greensboro, North Carolina. We've got a 32,000 square foot building, and it used to be a church. It has 2 kitchens, 1 main banquet hall. We have a commercial kitchen and then a little smaller kitchen. We have a pantry in there. We've got school rooms. And we've got 12, maybe 24. We've got 3 floors. We're on 3 floors. Mm-hmm. I think we got 12, I think it's about 12 to 14, anywhere from 12 to 14 classrooms. Huge musala.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got adjacent raw land, empty land that we're in the process of putting senior citizens housing on, and we got enough room to put some condos on. And then there's another piece of property that we don't have control over that we're working on now. But this 32,000 square foot piece of property, a church owns it. Sister Matula Yamini, Sister Janaki Abdullah, and some other sisters got together, entered into a contract with the church. The church held the mortgage for us, reduced the price for us, fixed the roof for us.
Mm.
Look, I mean, we couldn't ask for any more. And so we ended up with that. This property right now is worth $1.7 million. And we only owe 80-some thousand on it. And so that fundraiser, I think we've raised about 35 to 40,000 cash. And look, and as the immigrant brother, he got together with some other immigrant brothers, and they decided that they were going to put the carpet in for us. So all I wanted to know was how much does the carpet cost, so I could tell people during the fundraiser how much the carpet cost, and if somebody just wanted to pay for the carpet, they could. Well, long story short, he gets back to me the next day. He says, look, he said, I've got in touch with a couple of brothers. I'm going to tell them that we want to get this carpet, and I'll get in touch with the carpet. He gets in touch with the carpet people. Carpet people quoted him. The carpet is going to cost $10,000. They're paying for the carpet. We ain't paying for it. They paid for the carpet.
Yes, sir.
So that was another piece that came in, and we're suggesting anybody that has any type of skills, if you can paint, if you got any of that what do they call it, handyman type of activity, if you got some time, mm-hmm. we can put you up. We got a place for you to sleep right here in the center.
Yeah.
If you'll come and work for us for a weekend or whatever, and we'll feed you. We're going to feed you and put you up if you come here and help us. But the others are out there now. Those of you that's got big
money.
Let me do this since you didn't open this door.
Okay, yeah.
you people out there.
Go ahead.
You business people out there. Y'all got money. This is Imam W.D. Muhammad's community. Y'all got money. We need money. There's a recognized right in that money that you have to help humanity. You know that.
That's
money.
Right.
We need at least $5 million. We ain't interested in struggling every month. We got this property, but we know that this is going to generate income, and it's going to be a powerful service mechanism and organism for the community. Where people in the community, y'all can come here for any event that you have. We can hold 1,000 people in here. We can keep this money. We can keep a lot of this money that we're spending with hotels and restaurants. We can keep that money right here in the community. That's what these man suggested that we do. So we don't have to give them all of the money. And we're working in here.
That's right.
Baby K. Hassan working in here now to get a hotel in here. So that we got a hotel or a motel. So when people come in and rent out this space, we got a place for them to sleep. That we're collecting resources from. So this is a huge project. We're looking at, we know $40, $50 million worth of real estate and equity as we move on down the road. That's what's going to happen right here. And let me thank all of you, those of you who've already donated to us, for the contribution that you made. And for those of you who haven't donated yet, I'm going to give you a number right here. Let me give you a number where you can go and to do your part. And if you want to get to heaven, help us. You want to get to heaven, help us. And we'll help you get there. So now I need to go where I need to go. I need to go here. I need to just give you all this. Okay, let's do this, Doc. Okay, so where you want to go to $WDMIC 2018. Again, that's $WD Muhammad Islamic Center, but these are just the letters, WDMIC 2018, 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And you can give your donation, whatever it is, whatever you got, something. $5, $2, $3, $100, $100,000, $1 million. Y'all got it. Help us. Help us. Look, we're the youngest, newest Islamic society on the globe, right here in America. We're the youngest. And you know what? People are looking at us, Mikhail, and they're saying, look, the Imam told us, y'all are new people. You are new people. So God is filling up this vessel now. They're watching it. From around the world, they're watching it. They know we're new people. Look, now let's not go to sleep in terms of what we've been blessed with and who has come and brought us to this point. Don't go to sleep on W.D. Farrar and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and what the Imam did for
That's
us.
That's right.
Look, there That's ain't right. nobody on the globe like us. There's nobody on this globe like us. We are new people. And I'm telling you, if we just listen to one another and cooperate with one another based on what the Quran and the traditions of the prophet are saying to us and what the man has left with us, and what we got to know, if we'll do that, it's happening anyway, but we can be more deliberate at it. If we become more deliberate, it happens faster. But it's going to happen anyway because the sequence is already in motion.
Yes, right. That's right. So now, what kind of weather do you have in Greensboro in January, February, December?
It is the type of weather that everybody online love to live here. Sometimes we wear shorts in here in January. So this is the place
I'm serious. You mentioned about people coming there to work. When it gets down by nasty cold here, as it can, I may show up, no, do the work, just to get away.
We want you to come here and live, too. We want you to come here and live. This is a great place for you to live. Look, we in a five-hour radius.
Yes,
sir. This is why I moved here. You see how charged up I am, Raquel. In a five-hour radius of Greensboro, we got 30 million people. We're about 5 hours from Atlanta, 5 hours from Washington, D.C., 6 hours from Baltimore, 4 hours from Charleston, an hour from Raleigh, an hour from Charlotte. Think about that. This is, look, this is the gate.
Yes, sir. It's like the Midwest. It's like the Midwest, you know, but I would like to come and get away when it's cold. And I got
y'all want to have your functions here. We had our first emails, emails conference. We had the national conference here.
Mm.
And it was very well attended. Our imams and their wives. Molly is coming. Molly has committed to come. The journal has committed to come. We're not sure which years. We don't know because of what's been happening here now with COVID, how we're going to do it.
Right.
But they've already committed to come and use this space.
That's good.
This is a great place to live. It's a great place to visit. So y'all come on. Help us out. Send us a donation.
Give us a site now.
Send a donation to that.
Give us a site to where we can go see pictures. I know Sister Fitcher did a very good
job. You should be able to go to W.D. Muhammad Islamic Center. You should be able to go. Is it on here? W.D. Muhammad Islamic Center. Where is the? I think you just put in W.D. Muhammad Islamic Center, Greensboro. You see it?
Okay, now, I see a WDMuhammadIC.org. Is that you?
No, WDMIC. Yeah, it could be .org. But look and see if the building is there. You should see a picture of the building.
Yeah, that's you. Let me make sure it's you. Yeah, Greensboro, it says 3015 East Bessemer.
That's it. 3015 East Bessemer.
Yeah,
and look, the zip code is 27405, I think. 27405 is the zip. Because it's not right in the journal. It was a typo in there. But for those of you who want to send something by mail, it's 3015 mm-hmm. East Bessemer, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27405.
But on the site here,
WD Muhammad Islamic Center.
No, Sam, he on his site. You have to go put in WDMuhammadIC.org, and all that's there. It shows you the events. It tells you who the imam is, and the imam Hassan Yamini, assistant imam Sharif.
That's our imam.
Ghalfani.
Yeah. Talib,
you know, it got to you about the school. And all that. And so if they go to their site, they would get it, and they probably can click on and see pictures. I don't know if she can.
Donation, and you can give a donation at the site. If I'm not mistaken, you should be able to give a donation.
You can. It's right here. It says donate to our ministry today. Donate today.
Mm-hmm.
And then, guys, to see what we've been doing, got pictures showing the things going on. I got pictures showing the inside of the building as well. Okay.
I am so happy I accepted this religion. There's nothing else that I can look back to in my life, y'all, that has more meaning and substance, outside of just being born, I guess, than accepting Islam and coming into this deen and living this life.
That's right.
I mean,
but also being born because you're born Muslim.
Yeah, that's probably most of us on the line. Our lives wouldn't be like they are right now if it don't be for Al-Islam. So come on, y'all.
No, sir.
God done favored us, done blessed us, put you in the best place on the globe today. And you live in better housing than most people. You wear better clothes than most people on the globe. You eat better food than most people on the globe. You got more opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Than most people on the globe. So what do we have to complain about? Nothing. Let's just go to work. Let's work together.
Yes, sir.
If we work together, look.
I mean,
they're already afraid of us. They're afraid of us separated. So you know what's starting to happen. That's why they don't want us to come together. They're trying to stop it, but they can't stop it. They can't stop it. This is a law thing. It ain't my thing. This situation belongs to God. So visit my website. But
okay.
Mikhail, my man.
Yes, sir. We're going up in a few minutes.
Go ahead. No, this work here, this is special work. And you've been consistent at it. Your publication.
So next month we'll celebrate 9 years of this Sunday program, mm-hmm. Worth Made People.
Look at
we
it.
Will
Look
have
it.
9 years.
Praise be
nonstop.
Allah. Yeah, alhamdulillah. So, I mean, again, we got, like you, other special people in this community, too. Many of us. There's so many of us, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Look, and when you see this in somebody, tell them. When you see something in a believer, tell them you admire that. You appreciate that. Look, no matter. Oh, you're just trying to stroke me. No, that ain't what it is. You can think that if you want to,
that's right.
But that's not what it is.
That's right.
We should really recognize the contributions that we're making, that our brothers and sisters are making.
Mm-hmm.
We should do that. We got talent. We got skill. We've been blessed. We've been favored. It's been good being with you today, man. Pray Allah will bless you. Bless your audience.
I mean,
I look forward to talking to you all again the next time. As-salamu alaykum.
Inshallah. Soon. Alaykum as-salam. Let me just say next week, on the 10th, we have a very special guest, Brother Yusuf Met-Yum. He's the husband of Sister Zubaydah. And we know Sister Zubaydah Met-Yum worked for Muslim General 50-some years. Her husband just got out of prison last month after serving 51 years. He's going to be our guest on October 10th. That's 2 weeks from now. And also, I was blessed to come up with a concept. I call it the Tree of Life. And I try to put all the organization groups that have been birthed from the language of Imam Muhammad and made it into a tree. So we're looking forward to that. It should be in Muslim Journal next week as well, because we are a new people on this planet, and we thank Allah for this. And Dr. Nuruddin, we thank you. Imam Ayman, anything you want to say before we go?
I want to say support this program. Every week we should be coming here most every week. If you ain't got something else to do, this is a great place for you to come on Sunday from 1 to 3.
Yes. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
That's right.
Thank you. Email, anything you want to say before we go off?
No. I just want to get them 60 tablets you talked about. And start getting the liver detox. I want to start getting on that stuff right away. And I'll just go to the website. Yeah, give me his number. Text it to me.
Yeah. What you tell everybody the number to call you? If he might want to call you, what number should
he
call?
If you want to call, call 336-852-3040.
Again, please.
336-852-3040.
Okay.
All right. We got it. Thank you. Inshallah, we'll be here next Sunday with another thoughtful, informative program. Make dua for us and make dua for you. And with that, we say, As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
All right.
People, every day, trying to do things their own way. But everything you see, touch, smell, those are things that tell you words to think twice before you step on, give advice. Make sure your words hold true, cause people hold you to your words. They make people, and people, they make the world go round. World. If your words are jive, then jive you are, cause those type of words, they don't go far. Think and start, work and buy, from ideas deep in your mind. It's words that make people, and people that make the world go round.
God's good, and good you'll be. His old God in the words that set you free. When thinking starts, words come back from ideas deep in your mind. You need words to make people and people.
my hair on my head.
Allah did.
He put my head on my neck, y'all.
Allah did.
He put my neck on my shoulder.
Allah did.
All these things Allah did. Yes, he made, yeah, a beautiful king.
Allah did. Allah did,
yeah, nah.
Allah did,
Allah,
Allah,
we love you,
we love you,
for all the things that you do, Allah. Beautiful king,
Allah did.